Well, hello, Zao Church. How we doing today? Man, you guys are, you awake? We good? Good to see you guys. I know what it is. You're just still getting over our amazing legacy golf and gala. That was an amazing event. If you came out, thank you so much for being there. Just a quick update. I want to celebrate this. We had 130 golfers, 350 gala guests, and we raised a little over $210,000 for the Legacy Fund. So thank you so much, Zao Church. And I know y'all had a lot of fun. We had a great time out there. Thanks for being a part of that. Excited about next year. It's going to be bigger and better next year. I want to tell you what's coming up this month and then even into the beginning of the year. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to start a three-week Christmas series today that'll go over the next 3 weeks. Next Sunday, we have Christian music artist Jordan Felice going to be here to lead worship for us. We're brothers, practically. I mean, we look very similar. And you're in for a treat. We've never done something like this. And so this is a great treat to us from our friends from Altrua and our partnership with them, allowing Jordan to be here with us. It'll be great next week to have him lead worship for us. Let's see. Christmas Eve services on Christmas Eve, 5 and 7 o'clock here at Zao. Invite you to that candlelight service. We all know you love those services, and we're going to have a great time together on that. And then the last Sunday of the year, we do this every year, the Sunday that falls closest to the New Year's Eve, New Year's Day time, is Zao at Home. We give all of our team a day off, all of our volunteers a day off. They're traveling, being with families, and we record an entire service that you get to enjoy from the comfort of your own home. We actually start recording tonight on that, so I'm excited about that. That's always one of my most favorite Sundays, not because I don't get to see you, but we get to do something a little different. We get to be creative and produce a really cool service, and so make sure you are, I'll tell you more about that, but make sure you are at home enjoying that December 28th. And I want to say, then in January starts a new year, and we always start January with 21 days of prayer and fasting. We'll have our Still Starving devotional books available for you. We go through a devotional together as a church. We have 21 days of prayer meeting during the week. We'll tell you more about that, but just a great kickoff to the year. And then heading into February, I just want to make one last announcement. Heading into February, we're doing something fun for our Zao High students, junior high and senior high. We're going to have like an old school disciple now. We're calling it Winter Weekend, and it's going to be February 13th through 15th, and well, I want to start telling you about it now because we want host homes. They're going to meet in homes, have small group leaders that come to the church and have time together, have a service. And so if you have students who don't get to go to all the way to Alabama for summer camp, we're going to do something local, very affordable, easy, local. It's going to be a great time together, so make sure that's on your calendars if you have students. Winter Weekend. Unfiltered February 13th through 15th. All right, we're going to have a great rest of the year, and then already kicking off a great 2026, and it's going to be a great time together. Well, today I do kick off a brand new series. I love this one. Okay, here's the series we're kicking off today. Our Christmas series is this: A Christmas Carol, Getting Unscrooged. How many of y'all need to get unscrooged today? How many are sitting next to someone who needs to get unscrooged? Most of you know the story of Ebenezer Scrooge. It's a great movie I'm sure you're enjoying with your family. This old, bitter, closed-off man visited by the three ghosts that force him to face his past, his present, and his future. You know the story. And the past, the present, and the future, these ghosts visit him and enable him to get some freedom in his life. And believe it or not, you and I can learn from this story. Here's the application for us, that Jesus didn't come just to give us a cozy Christmas. Jesus came to set us free. That's why he came. No one's excited about that. You stay in bondage. I'm a living freedom. Y'all are quiet today. Free from the ghosts of our past, free from hard and bitter hearts, and free from the labels that tries to identify us. That's what this series is all about. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at the ghosts of Christmas past. We're going to deal with some offense and some wounds today. Next week, we're going to look at the ghost of shame, the stuff we did, the stuff done to us that still whispers, that's who you are. And the ghosts of labels in 2 weeks. The names, the identity, and the expectations that have been on us and on our lives for years. Our theme verse for this series comes from really Jesus announcing what he's doing, why he came. In Luke 4, 18 and 19, Jesus announces to the world, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to do what? To proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That is Christmas. That is the good news. That is the freedom. That is the healing. That is the fresh start that Jesus wants to give you. Jesus came so that you don't have to be haunted by your past, live in these chains and bound up and live by these labels anymore. Now, here's why this matters so much at Christmas. Christmas doesn't change things. Christmas magnifies things. If life is good for you, you're excited about this Christmas. Christmas makes you feel really good if life is good. Like the lights, the music, the caroling, the traditions, the eggnog anointing, the pumpkin spice latte, that is on you and life is good. But if there is tension, if there is loss, if there is a strained relationship, man, this Christmas season can be really bad. Christmas has a way of putting all of that that's going on in your life under a magnifying glass. Like a little hurt suddenly feels like a big wound. A small comment turns into a 3-day silent treatment. All the married folks know about that one. One awkward dinner makes you think, honestly, I don't know if it's worth it anymore. You know, studies tell us that almost 9 out of 10 adults feel a little extra stress during the holidays, and mostly not from finances, mostly from family conflict and missing loved ones. Nearly 40% of families say that they end up in open-ended arguments at holiday gatherings that often turn into long-term rifts. How many of y'all looking forward to that? So if you are feeling some tension this Christmas, you're not crazy. You just don't have to stay stuck in it. Because Jesus came to set prisoners free. We believe that he came to set us free from grudges, from offenses, from old hurts that keep crashing our Christmas. So today in part one of A Christmas Carol, Getting Unscrooged, we're talking about how to overcome offenses and how to not allow our offenses to steal our Christmas. This is a big one. I've done a whole series on offense before. If there's a topic that I could preach on every week, I think it's this one right here, all right? This is a big one. So if you're taking message notes, the title of this morning's message is When Grudges Haunt the House. When Grudges Haunt the House. I know you're excited about a message on offense. Here we go. Lord, we love you. Thank you for being with us. Help us to get over our offenses. In Jesus' name. Come on, people. Amen. I think we're all a little bit more offended than we think we are, right? Quick poll, let's be honest. How many of you know somebody who is easily offended? It's not you, obviously. You know someone who is easily offended. If they're sitting right next to you, don't move. Keep your eyes forward. Blink twice if you need prayer. Anybody else? I'm looking. How many would say, okay, honestly, Pastor, I get a little bit more offended than I probably should? Hands, anybody get a little offended easily? Yeah, 3 of you guys, you're lying. Like, how many of you are offended that I'm doing a series on offense? How many of you are offended? How many are offended that I'm doing a series called The Christmas Carol? You're like, that ain't Christian right there, all right? That's Disney. How many are offended that I have the word haunt in my sermon title? How many are offended that I wear ponchos every single week, you know? I think we all can find something to be offended by. I don't know if you found this or not, but it is not hard to be offended. I don't even have to try hard this morning, and I can offend you in the next minute, I promise you. I know for me, it's something that I wrestled with for many years, and I feel like I've received some freedom over it, but I got to be honest, I think sometimes I struggle with it. I'm not talking about deep hurts, deep trauma. I'm talking about the dumb stuff. Anybody else? The dumb stuff that I get offended by. The stuff that shouldn't matter but somehow ruins my mood. It ruins my day. It might affect my week. Like the dumb stuff, the petty stuff. Like I'm driving down 71 and I let someone merge in front of me because I'm a nice person and they don't give me the wave. Anybody else get offended by that, right? Like I let you into the promised land, you can't lift a single finger of gratitude. Like the right finger, just the one. Just give me a one. Just, if you don't do that, you're from California. I already know it. It's like, man, come on. This is Texas. We're nice to you people. Or like I'm at a store and I just like open the door and let someone walk in and they don't even say thank you. I'm like, I don't work here. I'm just being nice. Like, welcome to Buc-ee's. Bathroom's on the left. Beaver Nuggets on the right. Hope you enjoy your stay, you know? Or I'm preaching, I'm pouring my heart out here. I work so hard on this message, and people are just doom scrolling, you know? I'm not a podcast. I can see you, you know? Eye contact helps. I see everything. And then we have technology, right? Technology has given us a brand new way to be offended, right? It's like a creative way of being offended. Like someone follows you on Instagram, or you follow them, I should say, and they don't follow you back, right? You're like, what? Like, I'm good enough to watch, but not good enough to follow. Like, you'll be my friend, but not on Instagram, you know? Or worse, this is worse. They used to follow you, and then one day out of nowhere, you just were curious and you looked, and they're not following you anymore. I used to be a youth pastor, and there was an app. I don't know if it's still around. Maybe some of these students can help me. There used to be an app where they'd give you a report every day of who unfollowed you. I don't even want to know that, right? Like, some of y'all, you get offended that, like, yeah, I remember it was June 14, 2021, you know, 3:42, they stopped following me. Betrayal, the day of betrayal, you know? Or next, okay, this is even worse, like the text message bubbles. I love this. Like you're texting someone and you're in a conversation or something, and then it's like bubbles, and you're waiting for the response, and then the bubbles go away. You're like, you thought about me, and then you were like, nah, never mind. You know, like, I'm not even good for you to finish out your thought, you know? Or group chats. How many of y'all love the group chats? How many of y'all love being in a group chat with an Android? That's even worse, right? I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just speaking the truth. It's biblical. It's biblical. Like you say something heartfelt in a group text, you know, and then they just ignore it, you know? And you're like, did I just get blocked by my whole family? Like, I poured my heart out to you and you didn't even respond to it, you know? And then we had these like family dynamics around the holidays. Aren't you ready for it? It's just so exciting, you know. Christmas, this beautiful time. Get to hang out with friends and family that you hadn't seen in an entire year, and you probably shouldn't see in an entire year, you know. You should probably stay that way just once a year, you know. We've all got these things, right? We have these, like these, for example, we have this relative that's always late but never brings food, right? Anybody have that? But they bring Tupperware as if they did bring food. They're just like meal prepping for the week, you know, like, you got any extras, you know? Or the relative who wants to help you raise your kids, you know, and tell you that you're not doing a good job. Thanks to Dr. Phil. Anybody else? Anybody else have that relative, right? Yeah, that person does. And it just turns into a fight. Aren't you looking forward to that? Is that just my Christmas or my Thanksgiving time? You know, Christmas is supposed to be the season of peace on earth, right? Goodwill to men. But it's really tension in the house and good luck surviving dinner. Anybody feel that way? It's just like, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this. Studies show that the number one source of holiday stress isn't money, it's family conflict. So if Christmas brings a little anxiety for you, listen, you're not crazy, you're normal. And that's just the surface. Because for a lot of us, it's not just the little annoyances that we have to put up with, the petty stuff. Some of us are walking into Christmas carrying some real heavy wounds. Betrayal, broken trust, words spoken over you that still sting, parents who weren't there for you, emotional or verbal abuse, maybe even physical or sexual abuse, years, generations of dysfunction. And the truth is that ghost of all of that walks into Christmas with you. Some of you don't dread the holidays because you don't love Jesus. You dread the holidays because it takes you back to a place where the pain began. Here, I'm not minimizing your story. I'm not pretending it isn't real or it doesn't hurt, and I'm not even telling you to get over it. What I am telling you is this. Jesus didn't come just to decorate your December. He came to heal what has been haunting you. Here's a phrase that God gave me, and I say it almost daily, and I want you to grab a hold of it. I'm just going to tell you right now, we're going to say some declarations today. There's going to be a few of these that we're going to declare it. I'm going to say this first one, then we're going to say it together. But my life is too short, and my calling is too great to live offended. Let's say it together. My life is too short, and my calling is too great to live offended. Man, life is too short. Scripture says it's like a mist. It's here one moment, it is gone the next. Parents, I'm sure you feel this already. Yesterday, your kids were in car seats. Today, they're asking for the keys. Tomorrow, they're moving out and wanting money. Anybody else feel that? And your calling is too great. You're not here by accident. You're not in Austin by coincidence. You're not at Zayo randomly. God placed you here with your giftings in this season of history to make a kingdom impact. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are the hands and the feet of Jesus. So listen, your calling is far too great, you got to hear me, to waste your life being weighed down by offenses. We cannot allow the small offenses to take you off of the God-sized assignment that he has on your life. And we trade it. God has a big calling for you, and you'd rather hold on to the offense. So let's anchor this message in a scripture here, a powerful verse, Proverbs 19:11. A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. How you doing? Do you have some glory in your life? The Bible says it is to your glory, your honor, your strength, your spiritual maturity to overlook an offense. That means when someone else is snapping back, clapping back, holding grudges, you shine the brightest when you choose to rise above the offense. Listen, overlooking an offense doesn't mean that it didn't happen, you're not acknowledging it, it didn't hurt, or sweeping it under the rug. No, overlooking an offense means something very different. To overlook an offense means that I'm making a conscious decision not to allow this offense to sink down into my spirit. It's saying I refuse to give this offense any space in my heart and in my life. It means I'm choosing to pass over it instead of park under it. The Hebrew word here for overlook is a powerful idea. It means to pass over. To overlook means to pass over, to rise above. I love this. To step across something without being trapped in it. That's what offense is. It's a trap. It's a trap. And when you fall into offense, you have been trapped. But to rise above it, to step over it. That's what God's asking us to do. It's this spiritual muscle that says, I'm going higher. I'm staying close enough to God that the small things won't affect me. I'm not going to allow them to trip me up. There's a philosopher that's quoted saying this. Whenever anyone has offended me, I try to rise my soul so high that the offense cannot reach it. Not because it's easy, but because it captures the heart of Proverbs 19:11. Like, I'm not denying the hurt. I'm not denying that it does hurt. But what I am doing is I'm denying that it's going to have any control or power over me. I'm not pretending that the offense didn't happen. I'm choosing not to let it own me any longer. And that brings us to another declaration. We're going to say this out loud. We're going to say it with some faith here. With God's help, I'm getting over this. That's what I want you to say. Say it with me. With God's help, I'm getting over this. With God's help, I'm getting over this. That's where I'm going to go for the rest of this message. Because offense isn't a one-size-fits-all. We're going to tackle offense on two levels today. With God's help, I'm getting over being easily offended. That's the little stuff, the petty stuff. And then with God's help, I'm getting over the deep wounds, the things that left some scars, the thing that where I experienced some betrayal, some trauma, some loss, some pain. Both are real. Both matter to God. And both can be healed by the Holy Spirit today. So if you're taking message notes, it's just 2 points here. We're going to hit both of these offenses. Let's look at two ways he lifts us above the offense and into freedom. First, for the easy stuff, we're going to have thick skin and a soft heart. A thick skin and a soft heart. With God's help, I'm getting over being easily offended. Let's be honest. Some of us here today aren't dealing with massive trauma. Some of us, we're just dealing with some tiny, petty stuff that we're allowing to affect us probably more than it should. Because here's what we're doing. We're walking around with thin skin and a thick heart when Jesus asks us to walk around with thick skin and soft hearts. Listen to how Paul says in Ephesians 4:12, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Watch this. This is going to be good for someone. Making allowance for each other's faults. Why? Because of your love. Some of us need to make some allowances today for each other's faults. You know what that means? That means that I'm going to leave some room in my heart for people to be human, to make mistakes. Why? Because everybody in your life is going to fail you at some point. And by the way, you're going to fail them too, because we're human. The problem is this. This might be the most powerful part of this message right here. We tend to judge others based by their actions, but yet we judge ourselves by our intentions. We judge others by what they do and their actions. We judge ourselves by our intentions. Like you cut me off in traffic because you're selfish. I cut you off because I'm in a hurry and I love my family who I want to get home to. You were rude to me because you're a jerk. I was rude to you because I'm tired, overworked, and Jesus is going to forgive me. We give ourselves grace, but we give everyone else assumptions. I live by this principle, and if there was one principle I wish everybody lived by, it'd be this one right now. Believe the best, don't assume the worst. Believe the best. I'm going to believe the best about you. Regardless of what I heard, I'm going to believe the best. I'm not going to assume the worst. Let me put this into a real context for you. Have you been in a conversation with someone who was so offended by something that you did not do or did not say? I mean, this person is so offended by you, by what you did not do, and by what you did not say. They assumed the worst before they believed the best. And my reaction in that moment is, how dare you treat me that way? But here's the truth. Most of the time, their behavior isn't about you at all. It's about what they are fighting and going through. They might be exhausted. They might be grieving. They might be anxious. They might have just received some bad news. They might be overwhelmed at work. They might be fighting depression. They might be in the middle of a spiritual battle. Statistically, 1 in 3 people you interact with on a daily basis, 1 in 3, is carrying emotional stress they haven't told anybody about. So instead of assuming they must be out to hurt me, try asking, I wonder what battle they're fighting today. That's what thick skin and soft hearts does. So here's the heart shift. When someone's rude, instead of reacting, ask, I wonder what they're going through. When someone forgets to say thank you, just know maybe they're distracted. If someone doesn't text you back, maybe they're overwhelmed. If someone seems distant, maybe they're hurting today. When someone feels like they're pulling away, maybe they need grace and not judgment. This is how we start to live like Jesus. Because Jesus didn't walk around offended by every flawed person he encountered. He walked around with compassion. He had compassion towards every hurting person he encountered. So if you're ready, let's say some declarations together. You're going to repeat these after me. Here's the first one right here. Say it with me. With God's help, I'm getting over being easily offended. Here's the second one. I'm choosing thick skin and a soft heart. Here's the third one. I'm making room for people's faults because Jesus made room for mine. Thick skin and soft hearts. Here's the second thing as we talk about getting above offense and led into freedom. That's the little stuff. We're going to go a little deeper here. And here's what we're going to do. I won't rehearse it. I'm going to release it. I'm not going to rehearse the offense. I'm going to release the offense. With God's help, I'm getting over the deep wounds. Some of you got some deep wounds today. You know, for many of us, the ghost of Christmas past isn't about petty annoyances. It's not about traffic, Instagram followers. Now, some of you are walking into Christmas carrying some real pain, betrayal, broken trust, words that shaped you in the worst way, emotional or verbal abuse, physical or sexual abuse, parents who wounded you and who were not there for you, spouses who broke vows, friends who disappeared when you needed them. These are the hurts that don't just fade away over time. These are the hurts that walk into the room before you do. And I want you to hear me on this. If that's you today, God sees it. God cares about it. And God's able to heal it. Because when it comes to deep wounds, we really have two options. We can rehearse it or we can release it. We can rehearse the wounds or we can release the wounds. Rehearsing it, the pain looks like this. You replay what they did over and over in your mind. You relive that moment time and time again. And you begin to rebuild the argument. You put yourself back in that moment. You nurse the bitterness. You keep feeding the story until it becomes your identity. It is who you are. Some of you are holding on to that. In rehearsing, it feels justified. It feels like I'm protecting myself so it doesn't happen again. But here's the truth. When you rehearse the wound, you refresh the wound. And what you refresh, evidently, it defines who you are. Rehearsing it leads to bitterness. Bitterness leads to bondage. And bondage invites the ghosts of your past to becoming the roommates of your present. But releasing it's different. Releasing it doesn't mean that it didn't hurt or it doesn't matter or they were right or I'm ready to trust them again. That's not what it means. Releasing it simply means this: God, I'm giving you what I cannot carry anymore. I'm releasing it. I can't carry this anymore. You want to because you want to protect yourself, but God's saying, release it. Let me protect you. Colossians 3:13 says this: we're going to make allowances, there it is, for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. You know, forgiveness doesn't mean the offender's off the hook. Forgiveness means that you're off the hook. The hook that the enemy has been using to drag you backwards and keep you in bondage. We don't forgive because they deserve it. I'm telling you right now, they probably don't deserve it. We forgive because we have been forgiven more than we could ever repay. And listen, forgiveness is rarely a moment. It's often a journey. Something you might have to do time and time again. You may forgive with your mouth before your emotions catch up. But every time you choose not to rehearse and you choose to release, you take another step towards your healing. There's so many Bible stories I could use to help me illustrate this, but perhaps my favorite is the story in the life of Joseph. Joseph is in Genesis. It's an amazing story. If anyone knew what it felt like to have a deep wound, it's Joseph. This young man who received a vision from God, a big dream. He was betrayed by the very people who were supposed to love him and cheer him on and protect him. Joseph told his brothers his dream, and his brothers beat him up. They stripped him naked. They threw him into a ditch and sold him to slavery. That alone could have ruined him. But he got sold to a man named Potiphar, and then came some false accusations, and because of the accusations, he got thrown into prison, and he was in prison for years, and these long nights, he could just say, man, God, where are you? What did I do to deserve this? If Joseph had chosen to rehearse the pain over and over, it would have grown into rage, bitterness, and lifelong resentment. But instead, Joseph kept choosing to release the offenses. He served God faithfully. He honored God. He refused to let his past dictate his character. And because of that, God raised him up to become the second in command in all of Egypt. And then this moment of truth comes, the one that would expose whether or not Joseph had been rehearsing or releasing the offenses of his brothers. He's second in command. They're in a famine, and his brothers of all people come to Joseph, not knowing it's him, for food. The abusers, the betrayers, the ones who left him for dead. Joseph has the power. He has the authority. He has the ability to punish. If he had been rehearsing the wounds all those years, then this would have been the moment of revenge. But he doesn't do it. He clears the room and he bursts into tears, reveals who he is to his brothers. And instead of punishing him, he says this: what you meant for evil, God meant for good. He didn't deny the hurt. He didn't pretend that nothing happened, but he refused to let the wound write his future. Joseph wasn't under offense anymore. He rose above it. He wasn't stuck in the story that the enemy tried to write. He was walking in the story that God was writing. And that's exactly what God wants for you. I believe there is a shift in what God wants to do in you today. Some of you walked in with some wounds, some deep hurts. And you might be in this place of going, I'm just not over it. And I don't think I'm ready to be over it. I don't think I'm ready to release them. That's okay. Maybe today you can say, with God's help, I'm getting over it. And if you keep walking with Jesus, which is my job as your pastor, to teach you to walk with Jesus, if you keep refusing to rehearse and you choose to release, there will come a day that your declaration changes from with God's help, I'm getting over it, to with God's help, I am over it. That's what I want for you. What used to break me doesn't control me anymore. What used to haunt me doesn't own me anymore. What the enemy meant for evil, God turned it for good. That's the power of releasing. That's the power that Jesus wants to give through his freedom. So let's say some declarations. I have four declarations on this one. Let's say the first one together. With God's help, I'm getting over the deep wounds. Here's the second one. I won't rehearse it. I'm releasing it. Here's the third. What used to hold me hostage won't hold me anymore. Here's the fourth. Jesus is healing what the past tried to break. Feel freedom. Freedom being released. As I close, I just want to remind you of something I said in the beginning of this message, that Jesus didn't come just to be celebrated. He came to set you free. And freedom is not a concept. Freedom is not a Christmas lyric. It's not a seasonal emotion. Freedom is a person. His name is Jesus. And when Jesus stepped onto the scene in Luke 4, he announced his mission, that I have come to set the captives free. Not just captives in chain, but captives in bitterness, captives in offense, captives in shame, captives in labels. And this Christmas season, I'm declaring it over you that God's writing a different story for you. Just like Ebenezer Scrooge in A Christmas Carol, the ghost of his past came to show him where he'd gone wrong. But grace came to show him who he could become. And I believe the Holy Spirit is doing the same thing today. Some of you are carrying some ghosts today. The ghost of offense. the ghost of betrayal, the ghost of a wound that has not healed, the ghost of words that have been spoken over you for decades. But listen, ghosts, we teach our kids this, ghosts lose their power when light enters the room. And the light has a name. His name is Jesus. We're turning the lights on. This is why your life is too short and your calling is too great to drag the chains of offense into another Christmas. You weren't made to live haunted. You weren't made to live a heavy life. You weren't made to live hurt. Jesus came. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. Jesus came in a manger, in humility, in vulnerability, to show you that God steps into messy places. Your life is a mess. Praise God. That's what Jesus does. He steps into messy places to pull people out of painful places. And today he's whispering, I can heal that. I can lift that. This is what I do. But you got to let it go. This is the picture that so many of us are living. We're holding on to these offenses. And God's saying, would you release it? Because once you release it, I can then take over. So maybe for the first time in a long time, you can feel God softening your heart. You can feel the Holy Spirit tugging at something you've buried for years. You can feel, this is my prayer, that this isn't just a sermon, it's an invitation. Because the ghost of Christmas past doesn't get the final say over your life. Jesus does. And where Jesus speaks, freedom follows. Let's just close with these three declarations right here. Say it with me. My life is too short. My calling is too great. I am not living offended. With God's help, I'm getting over this. What the enemy meant for evil, God will use for good. Can I pray for you today? Go ahead and close your eyes and bow your heads right where you're at. Just want to take a moment. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit what he's saying to you through this message. What is God speaking to you on the subject of offense? Let him speak. Some of you walked in here today carrying a wound you've never talked about. Some of you have been holding on to offense for years. Some of you have never forgiven, not because you didn't want to, it's because you didn't know how to. And God is saying, you don't have to carry this anymore. This is the moment where heaven meets your heart. This is the moment where God starts healing the wound that has been shaping your life. This is the moment that the ghost of Christmas past loses its grip on your future. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up every heart in this room. You know every story. You know every wound. You know every offense that has been carried for far too long. And Holy Spirit, right now, begin to heal, restore, lift the weight, break the chains. We release the offense. We release the wound. We release the pain, and we receive your freedom. Jesus, thank you that what the enemy meant for evil, you turn it for good. Thank you that we don't have to live haunted because you came to set the captives free. And I want to pray for those who have never made a decision for Jesus, never given their hearts to Jesus. I believe there's a moment in your life you have to, with your whole heart, say, God, I'm following you from this day forward. I'm making you the Lord of my life. You control my life. There's got to be a moment. Romans 10:9 says you got to confess it and you got to believe it. So I do believe you have to say it and you got to believe it. And that's you today. I want to pray for you right where you're at. Just pray this prayer to God. If you need Jesus, if you need God, if you need a fresh start, pray this to God. Say, God, today I'm coming to you. I need you. I've been doing this on my own. And I need you. Take control of my life. Today I receive your son Jesus. I receive his faith. And I live like him. I want to be like Jesus. Take control of my life. Change me and make me new. Today I give you my life from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we clap and celebrate those who prayed that prayer?